Columbus.
Release the hounds!
With Columbus Blue Jackets head coach John Tortorella.
Brought to you by Telhio Credit Union.
All right, here we go. Hockey and Hounds for another week with John Tortorella. It's brought to you by Telhio Credit Union. And the coach is on with us now. Torch, good to have you back in town. How you been?
Very good. How are you guys doing?
Good, good. How you feeling? Everything okay? I know you had a deal, not to pry into your personal stuff, but obviously you're on the air, and I know you had that little procedure, but everything okay? You feeling good?
All good. All good. Yep. All good here, man.
All right, good. Great win in Toronto. That's a team that maybe you didn't know what kind of energy you'd have going on that ice. Certainly you got to have it against Toronto, but you guys had played a lot of games in a short amount of time. You get that early lead. And, you know, against Toronto, you want to take advantage of everything you can. And you're up 2-0, and you get a shorty, and then you're on a power play. And I'm watching that game at home, and I'm thinking, man, if they could cash here, might just be enough. And then what happens? You get a bouncing puck, and you get a shorty in your net, and you're like, my goodness. But, man, you had a lot going on in that game. You had to overcome again in overtime. Are you proud of anything specific that came out of that game?
I'm really encouraged. That's our fourth game in six nights. Again, we lose a two-goal lead, as you just explained, and we have a third period ahead of us. I'm not sure how much gas we have. And quite honestly, we were the better team. I think we were had the most energy in that third period. We outchanced them 7-2. I'm really encouraged and proud of the way they handle themselves in a tough building to play in against a pretty good team in Toronto. I thought both teams were really sloppy other than their power play and some of the movement they had on their power play. There really wasn't a lot of crisp play, certainly by us offensively. But we defended. Corpy was good in the first period where he was just outstanding. And we found a way to win in the third period. In overtime.
You know, so towards last year, you know, we talked to you, you know, a lot every week, and you know, there's certain themes that would come up, and, you know, especially at the end of the season, you're hammering about wanting to get Wenny to shoot the puck more. And sometimes, you know, you get the long play. I mean, are you happy with where he's been this season and his, you know, aggressive style, obviously in the preseason and then now as well, and then, you know, getting that nice, the nice third goal to tie it all up?
Yeah, I'm so glad he got rewarded, too. He has done everything we've wanted him to do. A lot of people say, well, did he gain confidence in the world championships and this and that? I don't know what's happened. I just think he's tired of being talked to or kind of talked at and tired of all the questions and has simply come in with a different focus. And the thing I like about him, Bobby, is he's not only holding on to pucks, he knows he's going to get banged around when he holds on to it. He stays in there, holds it, and then rolls out of there with the puck and makes plays off of it. So I'm happy for him. I am. I have driven him crazy, I know, for 2 years here, and I am really happy that he's just going about his business. We haven't had a conversation. He has just played so very well, so it's very important for our team up the middle.
Well, I know that's you. We talked to you before the season, and you tell me how fulfilling it is for you to kind of teach a young guy and see maybe the light come on a little bit. And I know that you do it out of wanting him to be an impactful guy for your team and wanting it for himself. Do you think that he finally got to the point where maybe he saw that, hey, this is it. If I don't do the things that are being asked of me, that I'm not going to earn ice time, and then who knows which the fork in the road for your career? Do you think the light finally went on?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I was sitting him out in the playoffs.
Right.
I mean, I benched him. I mean, it's right there. There's no hidden agenda with me. It's basically, you know, we've got to get moving along here as far as your career and to help this club. So, yeah, I think he's just fed up. And all through that whole process, the 2 years, he's a great kid. I mean, Alexander Wennberg is a great kid, but I can't have great kids not play. And, I mean, not play the way they should be playing. If they don't play the way they should be playing, they're not going to play. So I'm thrilled for him because I do think it was a very important time this year entering camp for his career personally, and more importantly for the team, what he can do to help this team. So I hope it continues, and I think he's being rewarded. It's nice to see him get a couple goals early and get some reward with it also.
You know, one of the guys that's, you know, been rewarded, and you know, you put a lot of faith in him this point towards his Corpusalo, and you know, you started off the season with some questions, and you've really ridden him a lot so far, you know, letting him play a ton of games, and he's really been playing really, really well. And I think that that's probably a surprise to people maybe outside of the team that, you know, when he was fully handed this and what he's been able to do with it, are you surprised that he's played as well as he has thus far this year?
Well, if you look at the when we've played him, I remember when Bob was struggling last year, we played Corpy quite a bit early on, and you could see his game grow. And just like any player, that's what happens. And as a goaltender, to get into that rhythm, I think is very important. As I've talked to Manny, our goaltending coach, it's really important for a goalie. Corpy's won the number one job. He deserves to be our number one guy right now. And I come out of that first period against Toronto, although we're up 2-0, we could be down 5-2 after that first period of some of the saves he made on their power play. And so he's a guy, Bobby, and I think a goaltender, the players need to love playing in front of the goaltender, not just like playing in front of, but love to. I think our guys love playing in front of Corpy because they've seen how he's just been a pro the past few years. He works hard every day and has just grown. And now he has an opportunity to run with this year. So I'm proud of him. And he, you know, 925, I think his last four or five games, that's really good. So I'm happy for him and more happy for the team.
He's John Tortorella, Hockey and Hounds, brought to you by Tell Ohio Credit Union here on Carpenter and Rothman. All right, so you're the last guy I really want to dig in on the power play, but I'll ask you it this way because I know you get sick. It's just not anything that is fun to talk about. What's that?
Yeah, you have to ask.
Yeah, and that's it. I got to do my job here. I got to ask. All right, so here's the deal. I'm a complete novice. I'm watching at home, and I'm like a lot of fans. I'll yell, shoot the damn puck. Just get, like, enough of the setup crap, right? But I'm a novice. I'm an idiot. So I want to know from you. What, I'm not telling you, all power plays aren't created equally. Pucks bounce a certain way. You get a certain amount of rush.
Sure.
How much setup that you want to do, how much structure do you want out of this thing? Do you want to just get pucks flying, get deflections, or is there a real structure you're asking these guys to do that either they're falling short of or you're not getting the breaks? How do you view your power play right now?
For a novice guy, it's a great question. And I say that tongue in cheek, but I think some of the most structure within a power play comes in the entry. How you enter, how you gain control of the puck as they're trying to push you before you do get to a setup. I do believe a big problem with our power play is we're not creative enough on it. We're playing on the outside with it. We're trying to get to our spots. You do have spots on a power play that you should be at certain times, but I think we're spending too much time trying to get to those spots, trying to get it set up, and then start making plays. I think we need to be more instinctive. I think we need to be more creative and make plays that just are there. Not that's been going over in the meeting, some of the tendencies that you might see. If you see it, go with it. We're playing on the outside way too much with the puck in getting to that setup. I'd like to see us attack the net when we have an opportunity while we're in the middle of getting set up. If you see an opening, let's go for it. And so I guess what I'm telling you, Anthony, is I want our offensive players to take control of it a little bit more as far as what they see on the ice. Not what the coaches are telling them as far as seeing what tendencies are, but what they see on the ice. You're going to see a different setup tomorrow night in our game where we're going to have Jonesy and Z together on one of our power plays. They're two of our most creative people, 5-on-5, and they just kind of wing it. We're going to let them run it a little bit as far as winging it on our power play because it's not working. And we score a big goal. Score a big goal when we went to that setup in the third period or that group. So we're going to stay with it and allow them to explore themselves a little bit more as far as what they see on the ice.
All right. Listen, you've played 7 straight one-goal games, and you've got a winning record in them. But I know it's frustrating because a couple more power plays go your way and maybe you're feeling like, you know, we win a couple more games here. And I understand it because there were a lot of chances in Chicago. You had chances against the Isle at home. And I read you perfectly. Those are winnable games. You bank a point, but that's a winnable game if you can finish in front or click on a power play. So I know that it's a game of inches there, but what a win in Toronto to make sure that you came back home and get a little rest and feel good about it. Hey, I wanted to mention I got a chance to talk to a lot of different rescues at our adoption event last week, and it was great. And one of them I want to bring up is Canine Collective. And Canine Collective is a no-kill shelter that they mainly pull dogs from high-kill shelters. And I know your wife, Christine, their group is very much involved, and you are too, and as far as transferring dogs that may get a better shot in different locations. But they have a kennel located in northwest of Columbus. It's between Plain City and Delaware. They basically have two people that run the thing, but they're really exclusive volunteer support. I'm putting it out there today. They are in desperate need to raise some funds to replace a van. They've got like a 1992 Dodge van that basically they can only use now to go to events, and they do a lot of transferring of animals. This is just a beautiful organization that's a nonprofit. They were established about 12 years ago. They've saved thousands of dogs, hundreds this year. And like I said, they got a 27-year-old van that while it served them well, it's a real struggle to keep it running, and local trips now to just events and vet appointments. So if you're an organization that can help them, whether you want to donate a van if you have one, or and then we can kennel it out for them, or just help us with some money that we can do, I'm going to tweet out their GoFundMe from Canine Collective so we can try to help them out. They really do need it.
It's interesting. And I won't discuss it on air right now, but I think I may have a lead into that.
Okay.
Have you talked to Christine about this?
No, because we've been working on that other project with the horse. Yeah. But yeah. I will ask her about that because we pitched this a while back for rescue vehicle, and we had tire shops calling that helped put on tires for us. But this is a place that really just wants to raise money to try to get a van that they can have a better transport vehicle. And you can check them out at caninecollective.org. There's a donate button there if you want to do it. And then you can also see all their wonderful dogs that need forever homes, too. They're right there. Yeah. So they're just terrific people. And talk to them this weekend. And whatever we can provide to them, I want to really dig in on that and help them. So
we're going to put our tentacles out there, too. I think we have – there's a couple of situations that I think may be able to help you.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Yep. And I want to remind people also that we're getting into dog licensing season now. So the most important thing about a dog license is not the fact that it's the law and that you can prove your dog is vaccinated. The main part is, Bobby's laughing. The main part is that we can get your dog home.
And we had someone tweet into us today about that.
These dogs that go into these shelters, they need to be identified. Not all of them are getting chipped. Get your dog licensed, get the vaccination tag on there, and then if it does escape you or slips its collar, we can get it home to you. Update your number on there, too, if your number has changed and you do have a dog license. It's just so important, and people have to know that. So, but we're all good. We're all good with I want to get Canine Collective. Boy, they rescue from high-kill shelters and hoarding situations and families in crisis. They're just a wonderful organization, and they need help here with a transit-style van or something we can outfit and maybe put some kennels in so we can maximize the number of dogs that they can transport and help get to a great situation. So
it's great.
Yeah.
That's a great thought. Okay, that's great. We'll check. We have some things going on.
All right, hopefully we'll have some good news to update each other on the next week.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, Torts, go get them tomorrow night against the Canes. Welcome back home.
Thank you. Have a good day, Anthony, Bobby.
You too. That is Torts, John Tortorella. Hockey and Hounds for another week, brought to you by Telhio Credit Union. And they make a generous donation every time Torts calls in on his time and his dime every Wednesday at 2:30 here on Carpenter and Rothman.
He's bringing up to you, talking to his wife about getting a van. I mean, benches, no benches, bean bags, no bean bags.